I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Great God of wonders, all thy ways are matchless, God-like and divine. Born of them glories of thy grace, for God-like and unrivaled shine.
How wonderful it is to experience the pardoning grace of this great God of wonders that the choir just sang about. And it's wonderful that you've joined me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry. We broadcast our Bible teaching programs in English and 21 other languages to many, many places around the world. Thousands are tuning in each week for spiritual nourishment and blessing, and now you are one of them. Thank you for tuning in to the Voice of Hope. You know, all of us have experiences where we've been misunderstood. I'm thinking especially about talking. What we said was misunderstood or misconstrued, that is, it was misinterpreted. And sometimes, if the hearer has animosity toward us, that misinterpretation is intentional. It's done on purpose. At other times, the meaning of our words just isn't as clear as it should be. So what we say, the words we use, and how we frame the ideas are very important in good communication. Good communication was and is important to God as well as it is to us. He gave us His Son, Jesus, the living Word, to communicate His love and His message to us. And He also gave us His words written down in Holy Scripture. So let's join the choir and ask God to teach us His ways from His Word.
Teach me, O Lord, the way of Thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness.
On today's program, we're continuing our study in the book of Colossians. Our study is taken from chapter 4 and verses 2 through 6, and the title is Getting the Word Heard. How important are words in our human experience? Is that a foolish question? Think about it. God spoke words to create the world, and He used words to communicate with the beings that He created in His image. And because we are made in God's image, we too, you and I, can communicate with words. And God referred to His Son Jesus as the Word, the Logos. This Word, Jesus, was sent to us to show us the person of God the Father. John says, "The Word became flesh and lived among us." So I conclude that words are important to God. And I like words. I enjoy games with words, like Scrabble and Boggle, crossword puzzles, and word scrambles. As a reader and a writer and a pastor teacher, I interact with words and I use words all the time. Words allow me to express my thoughts in a way that others can understand. If I'm with a live audience and I see that they're not understanding, then I can rephrase the sentence using different words, or I can give more explanation of the words that I am using. We all use words to convey our thoughts, ideas, our desires, our intentions, and more. Think about how much is lost if you can't communicate with words. You can act out simple desires like wanting to eat or needing to sleep, and you can even communicate your emotions through facial expressions or tears or posture or several other things. Sign language, of course, is very helpful for people who can't hear, but it still isn't the same because you can't hear the tone, the inflection, and the other variables that take place when we talk to each other. Most likely you've heard the saying, communication is an art. And I think that's a good description. Words are just one part of communication, but they're a very important part. Simple words can be like a child drawing stick figures on a piece of paper. By just a few simple lines, you and I can determine whether the figure is a man or a woman, a child or a pet, but then there's not much detail. As one develops a larger vocabulary and begins to understand the importance of context, it's like the artist adding details to the canvas that's on her easel. The painting presents a fuller, richer, and more detailed picture than the stick figure drawing. Today we're continuing our journey through Paul's letter to the Colossians, and we've come to chapter 4 and verses 2 through 6. While this is just a short text, it is a rich one that opens to us another facet of how the preeminence of Christ affects the way that we, as Christ followers, should live each day. If you and I believe, as Paul so clearly teaches in this letter to the Colossians, that Jesus is preeminent, that He is first in power and first in rank and position, and that He is supreme over everyone and everything, then we will understand the necessity of telling others this important truth. And to tell others the message, we need words. And we need words that others can understand. So I've titled our study for today, Getting the Word Heard. That's getting the word heard. And as we begin our study, listen to these words from the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 4 and verses 2 through 6. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, this text contains several elements we must consider if you and I want to be effective in getting the word heard. The first element is communion. Now, immediately, I know you may think I'm talking about the Lord's table and the commemoration of Jesus' sacrifice. You might be thinking of unleavened bread and grape juice, representing the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. But that's not how I'm using the word in this context. Instead, by using the word communion, I'm referring to having fellowship with God in prayer. We know God desires communion with us. He desired it so much that he went looking for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden after they had sinned. He came looking for them in the cool of the day. That suggests to me that this was a time when they had previously enjoyed fellowship together. Here, Paul instructs the Colossian believers to continue in prayer or to continue communing with God. And some Bible translations add the word steadfastly or earnestly because that idea is contained in the original wording. So praying earnestly isn't just a brief prayer before a meal or like a child's memorized bedtime prayer. Those certainly have their place, but this is different. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 17, Paul counsels believers to pray continually. But too many of us only pray occasionally, when we feel like it, or when there's a crisis and we realize we need help. So what role does prayer or communion with God have in making sure that the word gets heard? I can think of several ways that our personal communion with God affects the word getting heard. First of all, as Paul has taught throughout this epistle, it reminds us of our complete dependence on God. James tells his readers in his epistle that one reason they don't have what they need is because they don't ask. Too often, you and I don't ask God because we depend on our own abilities and capabilities. And then another reason that our communion with God affects getting the word heard is it helps us to keep focused on why we're here. Our communion with God keeps us alert to what's happening around us and to possible opportunities for witness. I read the testimony of a surgical assistant who prayed for a job with spiritual significance. He wanted his life to make an impact, and he was shocked when God led him into a position in the field of plastic surgery. He wondered, why would God want him in such a hotbed of vanity? But during his times of prayer and communion with God, the Lord reassured him that he was in the right place and that he should wait upon his direction. So he obeyed and he continued to pray that the Lord would use him there in his job. He felt led by the Lord to begin a prayer meeting among his co-workers. And so he announced one day that from now on, each Monday morning, 15 minutes before starting time, he would be in surgical ward number 2, and anyone who wanted to join in prayer for their workplace and their employees could join him. At first, the gathering was just a few, but then it started to grow. And by the end of the first year of praying together, 10 of his friends had placed their faith in Jesus for salvation. That led to additional prayer groups also starting throughout the hospital. Now, why did that happen? It happened because one man listened to what God told him in his time of prayer. Think of Paul and Silas in the jail at Philippi. They were in communion with God. You remember? They were praying and singing at midnight. And then when there was an earthquake and those prison doors flew open, they didn't say, "Oh, now what do we do?" And they didn't see an opportunity to escape either. Instead, they saw an opportunity to share Christ with the whole prison population, including the jailer and his family. And that led to a local fellowship being established in the city of Philippi. You know, when I was a child, my parents taught me to close my eyes when I prayed. And I know why they did that. They did it to eliminate distractions. But Paul seems to suggest here in our text that we pray with our eyes open. Now, that can mean our physical eyes, like praying while you're driving the car. It's a good idea not to close them then. But more importantly, I think he's referring to our spiritual perception. He says that in our praying, we are to watch. We are to stay awake, to be vigilant as we pray. And you know, this command is stated numerous times in the scripture. And why do we need to be watchful when we're praying? Well, at least one reason is because we're easily distracted. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He warned his disciples to watch and pray. Why? So they wouldn't fall into temptation. And what was the temptation that Jesus was warning them about? First of all, the temptation to fall asleep when they should have been able to stay awake. And then in addition, the temptation to respond incorrectly to the unfolding events of that night, like Peter, using human reasoning and lashing out with his sword. And then later, a relative of Peter's victim confronted him in the courtyard of Caiaphas' house. "Didn't I see you with Jesus in the garden?" And then, why does Paul request prayers from the Colossian believers? He asks that they would pray for God to open a door of opportunity for him to preach the gospel. And Paul's request leads me to another important aspect of how our communion with God helps in getting the word heard. Let me introduce this idea with the following verse. And these are words from the Apostle Paul. "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." That's 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. In our praying, we can ask God to push back the God of this age. The God of this age may express himself in a variety of ways, but ultimately, it's Satan, isn't it? He is the one who fills people's lives with distractions. He's the one who blinds people's minds to the truth. He's the one who tries to keep them in fear and darkness and superstition. He's the one who stirs up family or friends or government to oppose them in their search for the truth. But through prayer, you and I can petition God to remove that blindness and open the hearts and minds of those who are hearing the gospel. That way, when the gospel seed falls, it falls on hard soil that has been broken up and prepared to receive it. You know, I don't think you and I realize enough how critical our praying is in the salvation of the lost. Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians while he was sitting in a Roman prison. We learn more about that in the closing verses of this chapter. But as he's sitting there in prison, he isn't moaning and groaning about his condition or his circumstances. Instead, he's asking his brothers and sisters to use their time of communion with the Lord to pray for him so he would have opportunities to share the gospel, opportunities for getting the word heard. And not only that, for personal boldness when those opportunities do arise. I'm convicted by the testimony of that surgical assistant, because so often I fail to see the opportunities that are right under my nose for getting the word heard. And part of it, I believe, is because I fail to commune with God as I should. What that surgical assistant did wasn't huge. Just a 15-minute prayer meeting every Monday. And yet God used that to bring people to faith in Jesus and eventually to impact the entire hospital. And then notice too, again, Paul's emphasis on thanksgiving. Our prayer and our watching should be bathed in thanksgiving. Now you might ask, thanksgiving for what? Well, first of all, thanksgiving for access to the throne of Almighty God. We're not worthy to be there, but Christ makes us worthy. We can express thanksgiving for answers to prayers that we prayed in the past. Thankfulness for God's ability to give us what we need instead of what we want. And you can go on adding to that list. So what is God saying to you in your times of communion with Him? Or have you neglected those times? Remember, James said, "We don't have because we don't ask." I truly believe that our communion with God, or the lack of it, has a tremendous impact on getting the word heard. And then the next element in getting the word heard is clarity. If people can hear the words spoken, but they don't understand them, then the word isn't getting truly heard. Genuine hearing involves the intellect and the heart. I remember so well my mentor, Dr. J. Otis Yoder, talking to me about the need for clarity in teaching and preaching. And this is what he said. If you're going to feed the sheep, you have to put the food where they can reach it. And to do that, you need to know your audience. Paul asked the Colossian believers to pray that he would be able to proclaim the word with clarity. In other words, to put the food where the sheep could reach it. Sometimes, and I'm guilty of this too, we Christ followers use language that's familiar to us, but it's foreign to unbelievers. Several decades ago, people understood what it meant to be born again. But today, many people are like Nicodemus in his nighttime conversation with Jesus. When Jesus talked with him about being born again, he was thinking of a physical birth, and he couldn't see how that was possible. So many people today have little or no exposure to God's word and biblical truth. And so the word must be made clear to them in language they can understand and relate to. Paul highlights the importance of clarity in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now the context in his teaching there is specifically about speaking in tongues, but his conclusion applies just as well to this essential of making our teaching clear. In verse 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, "If the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for the battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air." Using understandable words is important, but there's more to it than that. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Until the mind and heart are opened by the Holy Spirit, understanding will not come." So here again, prayer is part of the process because we can ask God by His Holy Spirit to help us to share His truth in ways that people can understand, to enable them by His Spirit to really know what we're saying. And that's what Paul was asking the Colossian believers to pray for. He knew his effectiveness in getting the word heard depended at least in part on his clarity. And the same is true for you and me today. The next element in getting the word heard is conduct. But that will have to wait until next week because we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue our study, Getting the Word Heard. As you ponder what you've heard today, let's ask God to make us channels to communicate His love.
Oh, I praise Thee, precious Savior, let Thy love lay hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might Thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power.
flowing through us. Love can choose us every day and every hour.
My friend, were you blessed by today's teaching? If so, we invite you to respond. Perhaps you have a question, or a testimony, or maybe even a point of disagreement with something that was said today. We welcome your comments and your feedback. The easiest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your comment to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. To review today's program or to listen to previous programs, you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen to any of those when it's convenient for you. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, and you can leave a comment on today's teaching, Getting the Word Heard, or you can request a copy of the complete teaching, either in print or on an audio CD. And we also invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number 866-960-0292. You can also mail your gift to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We do depend on God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Your donation will make an eternal difference in someone's life today. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week as we continue our study, Getting the Word Heard. And until we meet again, remember the instructions of Jesus.
Evil powers gathered in unseen array. They wait for your unguided hours. Watch and pray. Watch and pray.